to be within the comfort zone. Father, I pray for this congregation. As this virus goes around this country, we pray that you keep us safe and watch over the country and keep the whole country safe from this virus. Father, we thank you for this great country, and you have blessed it immensely, and we thank you for that. And pray that you'll keep the first responders and men and women in our military, keep them out of harm's way also. Father, we do fall short sometimes, and we do. Father, we pray that you forgive us for that. And we're grateful that we do have forgiveness because of the great sacrifice your Son made for us. Amen. Father, we just thank you for your love and care for us. And Father, we ask that you guide us each and every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
In preparation for the Lord's Supper, let's turn to number 51. 5-1. Break thou the bread of mine, dear Lord, to me, as thou didst break the loaves beside the sea, within the sacred page, I sing thee,
solid rock I stand.
stay on Christ the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. All other ground is sinking sand. When he shall come with his trumpet sound, oh, may I then in him be found, dressed in his righteousness alone.
In the Old Testament of the Bible, the character of Isaiah is 750 years before Christ. His predictions of the coming of the Lord and his ways to be the faithful ways of God are mentioned 750 years. About 150 years later, at 600 B.C., Jeremiah, the son of a priest and the future to be a priest, is called by God to change and to become a prophet unto the Lord. The reading here in Jeremiah chapter 1, you get a lot of things there. If you'll notice with me verses 1 through 17, well, let's do 1 through 19, the whole of that chapter, and you'll see the whole ideas about it. In Jeremiah 1, beginning verse 1, the words of Jeremiah, the son of Hilkiah, of the priest that were in Anathoth, and the land of Benjamin, to whom the word of the Lord came in the days of Josiah, the son of Ammon, king of Judah, in the 13th year of his reign. It came also in the days of Jehoiakim, of the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the end of the 11th year of Zedekiah, the son of Josiah, king of Judah, unto the carrying away of Jerusalem captive in the 5th month. Then the word of the Lord said unto me, came unto me, saying, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. Then said I, O Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a child. But the Lord said unto me, say not, I am a child, for thou shalt go to all that I shall send thee, and whatsoever I command thee, thou shalt speak. Be not afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. Then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See, I have this day set thee over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to pull down, and destroy, and to throw down, and to build, and to plant. Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Jeremiah, what seest thou? And I said, I see a rod of an almond tree. Then said the Lord unto me, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. And the word of the Lord came unto me the second time, saying, what seest thou? And I said, I see a seething pot, and the face thereof is toward the north. Then said the Lord unto me, out of the north, an evil shall bring forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north, saith the Lord. They shall come, and they shall set every one his throne at the entering of the gates of Jerusalem, and against all the walls thereof round about, and against all the cities of Judah. And I will utter my judgments against them, touching all their wickedness, who have forsaken me, and have burned incense unto other gods, and worshipped the works of their own hands. Thou therefore gird up thy loins, and arise, and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. For behold, I have made thee this day a defense city, and an iron pillar, and brazen walls against the whole land, against the kings of Judah, against the princes thereof, and against the priests thereof, and against the people thereof. They shall fight against thee, but they shall not prevail against thee, for I am with thee, saith the Lord, to deliver thee. You get the whole gist of what's going to come about. There will be the coming of those from the north, it says there in verse 14, an evil man, Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. He would be a man that was unusual in his ways. He was the first one of those kings, really, as far as we know historically, to have his throne upon which he sat to rule taken with him as he went into battle. As he went forth with his army, he would have that throne to be taken. And then he would sit upon that throne and occupy it while the soldiers did the bidding that he bid them to do, whatever they were. Jeremiah, the Lord says, he'll come against these people here in Jerusalem. And they will be taken. They will be taken by this great evil power from the north. It is also the case that Jeremiah was a young man at the time and did not think very well about his ability to speak what God would say. Twice it is noted there in verse 8, do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with thee to deliver thee, saith the Lord. And in verse 17, thou therefore gird up thy loins and arise and speak unto them all that I command thee. Be not dismayed at their faces, lest I confound thee before them. What was about their faces? What do you mean? It could be just naturally that when people are mad at somebody for telling them that they're fixing to fall, they're fixing to be destroyed. In chapter 25 and verse 11, he tells them of the 70 years in which they will be enslaved. And those 70 years they will be down in Egypt, they will be there enslaved. It is the case, however, that they were not. They were not receiving that and saying, what can we do to spare us this? What can we do? And repenting of that. Calling upon God to forgive them for that. They didn't have that in their minds. They might have set their faces at anger against him. We're told by some in the karate study that we do to watch for the mannerisms of people and see when they're fixing to strike at you. And be ready for that defense in regard to blocking their movements and striking back to them. And they tell us that that will be a way in which a person will move his nose, move his mouth, move his chin, and clench his fist and makes move in that way. It could be that. Or it could be that they had adopted the practice of the people around them in honoring the idolatrous practices. It notes there in regard to this that they made that they built these things by their own hands. Notice what he says there in verse number 9. And the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth, and the Lord said unto me, behold, I have put my words in thy mouth. See this day set over the nations and over the kingdoms to root out and to tear down and destroy and to carry and build and plant and so forth. It is the case that Jeremiah could do these things and could powerfully do them if he did not stop because of the faces of the people. There he said, be not afraid of their faces, verse 8, for I am with thee to deliver thee. Verse 17, gird up your loins and arise and speak to them. Cinch up your belt and go out there and tell them what I say to you, to say to them, this people will not heed that matter, and they will be destroyed. It is sad to say. Notice verse 14 once again. The Lord said unto him, out of the north, an evil shall break forth upon all the inhabitants of the land. And lo, I will call all the families of the kingdoms of the north. There were those who came with the Babylonians, the Chaldeans and the like. There were those who came with them as they came to conquer Jerusalem and the ways of Jerusalem. There were people of Moab that were going to come over there and rejoice at seeing Jerusalem fall. And as a result, they joined in with the Babylonian armies at the time. Historically, we know that that is the case. But it is the case that they would not prevail against anyone like Jeremiah, who was seeking to do the Lord's will and the Lord's way. When Jeremiah was told twice by the Lord, verse 8 and verse 17, do not pay attention to their faces towards you. He's telling him, do not let these things that are outer things, things that are man-made, do not let them determine that you'll stop telling them what I say, that you'll cease to tell them the right things. Let's go over to chapter 25 and notice in verse 11 what is said there regarding the matter. And the whole land shall be a desolation and astonishment. And these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years. And it will come to pass when 70 years are accomplished that I will punish the king of Babylon and that nation, saith the Lord, for their iniquities. And the land of the Chaldeans will make it perpetual desolation. And I will bring upon that land all my words that I have pronounced against it, even all that is written in this book, which Jeremiah hath prophesied against all the nations. For many nations and great kings shall serve themselves also. And I will recompense them according to their deeds, according to the works of their own hands. There would be assassinations that would take place. That would be rulership that would fall. Nebuchadnezzar would not be the last of the kings and the kingdoms. And Daniel the prophet would come up and give a prediction to him in regard to this matter in Daniel chapter 2. He tells him in the days of these kings, he talks about four great kingdoms that's going to come. And he tells him, you are the head of gold. You are the first of the kingdoms. But you will not be the last. There'll come a kingdom after you, not nearly as strong as you are, yet they are more numerous than you. They are more predictable than you, and they will rule over you. And then there will come a third kingdom, and that third kingdom will rule the whole earth. Of course, the Greek kingdom came after Persia. And after the Persian rule, which had a lot of looking in the stars, we still use the studies that the Persian scientists did as they looked up into the gazing of the stars and the planets and all that went along with that. But they were not the last of the kingdoms. The third kingdom would rule the whole earth, and that's the Greek Empire. The Greek Empire, Alexander found himself ruling and going to place after place after place. And having the Greek rude, even the language was changed at that time. And the Greek language was spoken. And the Greek words were used. Until he wasn't the last kingdom either. There will come another kingdom, a fourth kingdom. And it was the Roman Empire that came. And the Roman Empire would be as strong as iron. And as weak as clay. Some of you have worked with crafts and you know how you can take clay and just mold it in your hands and fix it into any form that you wish it to have. You can poke eyes into it. You can put feet upon it. You put arms upon it. And you can cut them off. You can bring them down. You can bend them any way you want to. The miry clay. That kingdom will be as strong as iron. But as weak in places as the miry clay. And this is what then Daniel will say in Daniel 2 at 44. In the days of these kings, be more than one, there'll be a lot of kings. The Roman Empire had them. Shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom that shall never be destroyed. In the days of the Roman Empire, the kingdom of God's Son would come. That kingdom is described in Colossians 1 at 12. In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of our sins according to the riches of His grace. He's translated us out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of His dear Son. The kingdom of God's Son would last forever. Now there will be local congregations that will have people to move away, and there will be older people that pass away. Circumstances will happen so that they decline and they are no more. We know throughout the state of Mississippi there are various places that used to have wonderful congregations that no longer have meetings to take place there. The brethren there in that locality go to another bigger city area where there's a bigger church that's there available to them. But in regard to this matter, we see that that would be the case. But the kingdom itself would always be. The church of our Lord has never ceased since it began to be on the face of the earth. And we'd go back historically and search for the teachings of that church, the teaching of that kingdom. Because I say church about that kingdom because the assembly of that kingdom is in the church. Because these brethren that got that letter at Colossae were to take that letter, Colossians 4 at 16, they were to take this letter over to the church of Laodicea and get from them the letter I wrote to Laodicea. Bring it back and read it among you brethren there at Colossae. The church people and the kingdom people were the same in the New Testament. No matter what we may think about things, sometimes we need to recognize the faces of those who resist us and the teaching that's done to resist us and the statements made about, boy, those people are just so Bible-oriented. They're not Jesus-oriented at all. Untrue. But nevertheless, the statements are made should never deter us from teaching the full message of our Lord. When Jesus, our Lord, came to this earth in John 8 and at 32, our Lord Jesus there was the one who says, "In my word will judge you in the last day." And it will be a word that is true and accurate and will carry out what the Lord has wanted to be done. You and I need to follow that will. And as Jeremiah was a weak young man, he became suddenly a strong, strong man. Look at what is noted about him in regard to this matter when he says there in verse number 13 of Jeremiah 23, "And I will bring upon that land all my words which I have pronounced against it, even all that was written in this book which Jeremiah has prophesied against all nations." Would there be a hope after all these terrible times would take place that Jeremiah predicted? In Jeremiah chapter 31, no doubt Jeremiah has to be surprised at the things that the Lord says. Jeremiah 31, beginning at verse 31. "Behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel." Wait a minute. The house of Israel. The house of Israel in the north, that place was so idolatrous filled. What would happen? "I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and the house of Judah." When the people down in Jerusalem could hardly understand that and believe that that would be the case, when those people who had gone into idolatry up there, why would they be taught the same message that we will be taught down here with the temple? Though we did not honor the temple like we should and honor God like we should at all. Why would it be the case that they'd know it? "Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt. which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. I was like a gentle husband unto those people, but they did not remain faithful to me. They left me. They left the ways that I taught them. That covenant that I made with them will be changed. But this shall be the covenant that I will make, verse 33, with the house of Israel. After those days, saith the Lord, I will put my law in their inward parts. I will write it in their hearts and will be their God, and they shall be my people. And they shall teach no more his neighbor, every man his neighbor, and every man his brother, saying, Know the Lord. For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. That speaks of our day and time. It speaks of our blessings when we were baptized into Christ, raised to walk a newness of life. When we found ourselves united with the Lord in His way, our sins have been forgiven, and forever they have been cleansed away from us. And in our generations of time, instead of saying to people, know your neighbor, the people who are a part of this kingdom, a part of this government, a part of this way, would know the Lord from the least member to the oldest member. We would know the Lord and His right way. That new covenant came about in the New Testament of our Lord. And when Jesus came to give His new word, His new way, it was a way to those that had denied it and rejected it and put it away from them. It is noted in the reading here in Jeremiah. Go with me over, please, to chapter 45, and you will see some things in regard to this as I close this study this morning with you. The word of Jeremiah, the prophet, spake unto Baruch, the son of Neriah, when he had written these words in a book at the mouth of Jeremiah, in the fourth year of Jehoiakim, the son of Josiah, the king of Judah, saying, Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, unto thee, O Baruch, thou didst say, Woe unto me now, for the Lord hath added grief to my sorrow. I fainted in my sighing, and I find no rest. Thus thou shalt say unto him, The Lord saith thus, Behold, that which I have built will I break down, and that which I have planted I will pluck up, even this whole land. And seekest thou great things for thyself? Seek them not, for behold, I will bring evil upon all flesh, saith the Lord, but thy life will I give unto thee for a prey in all places whither thou goest. Jeremiah, all these other people will die. You I will spare. Why? Because Jeremiah loved his God and spoke with tears his message. Jeremiah is referred to as the weeping prophet of Israel and Judah because the people turned away from God's way. In our day and time, we do not need to turn away from God's way. We need to be people who faithfully follow His will and His way. We make preparations each week, a couple of times a week. I come over and turn the heater on in the baptistry to warm up the water, so that it'll be not a cold water, which still water gets that way, but to be warmed up and be ready for whomever comes up to say, I want to be baptized into Christ. I'm ready to do that which the Lord has commanded me to do. And to be doing that is something we can do. It was prepared for you last night. If you decide to come and be obedient to the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, He will add you to his kingdom, his church. Acts 2:47. The Lord adds daily to the church those that are being saved. Would you hearken to his call and his ideas today as we stand together and sing this song of invitation to you?
There's a fountain pretty tis for you and me. Let us haste to its brink. Tis the fountain of love from the source above, and he bids us all freely drink. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. Tis a fountain open for all. There's a rock that is cleft, and no soul is left that may not its pure water share. 'Tis for you and me, and its stream I see. Let us hasten joyfully there. Will you come to the fountain free? Will you come, 'tis for you and me. Thirsty soul, hear the welcome call. 'Tis a fountain open for all.
I know that y'all are concerned about the virus that's being talked about. I don't think any of us have that today. I haven't heard that kind of coughing like a flu is upon you to be that way. And they tell us that that's one of the signs of it. Flu-like symptoms and flu-like coughing. That is done. God bless you all as you wash your hands and so forth. We have the sanitizer there and it's working behind the door there. As you enter this building, you can do that. As you leave this building, you can do that. And it's good for you. God bless you, everyone. Thank you for being with us. Look forward to our song service tonight and not our potluck time tonight. Okay. Don't forget about tomorrow. By the time of 11 o'clock, be sure to have any food items here at that time, because it'll be about 11:30 or thereabouts where you go out this way to do the burial at Flag Lake Cemetery for Lynn. God bless y'all.
Turn to number 578.
There's no friend like the Lord, sister and brother, one to see, especially the ones that